We continue in worship. We turn towards the scriptures. We'll be reading in the Gospel of Luke today, the 9th chapter, verses 29 through 43b. Before I read, let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather together in worship, to be with one another in this community that we call Northwest Hills United Methodist Church, and a place where we find love and connection and support, a place where we find that we are not by ourselves, but that we're on this walk and journey with others. So, Lord, I ask that you today speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Luke 9, 28 through 43b. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Just Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. All were astounded at the greatness of God. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, as we were working on kind of our church calendar earlier in the year, you know, it looked like, well, Lent's like not until March, so we have some time to plan and get there, and well, all of a sudden it's March. Like, March got here quicker. Like, we're already 1/6 of the way through 2025. We're heading into the season of Lent on Wednesday, starting with our Ash Wednesday services. And over the past few weeks, we've been reading here in the Gospel of Luke. We've been reading some of the teachings of Jesus, and there have been scriptures that were not only relevant for the time that Jesus spoke these words about the oppressed and the poor and the immigrant, but they're relevant for us today as we live out this call as disciples of Jesus Christ. The way in which Jesus came to serve the least and the last and the lost and the oppressed and the outcast and the immigrant. So as we prepare in this next season, the season of Lent, the church calendar, we travel towards the cross with Jesus. Begins with what's known as Transfiguration Sunday. From the Sermon on the Plain, which we read a few weeks ago, in which Jesus came down from the mountain to teach his disciples of what it meant to be a disciple and blessed and a learner. If you remember the Beatitudes that we read, now Jesus has taken a few of the disciples back up on a mountain to pray. And while up on the mountain, something happened. Many of us have had those moments, those times in our life where we've felt like we were on top of a mountain, that we were excited, that we were confident, almost as if we were standing on top of the world. There's this peace that we experience. When we're on top of a high place, we can view things far and wide. The sunrise or the sunset. We can view across the waters. I remember we go to Michigan and we are on top of like Sleeping Bear Dunes on top of this mountain, and we can see Lake Michigan, which we know that there's land right across, but you see as far as you can see, and then you can't see any further. It almost looks like it's the point where the world just kind of turns. We stand on a mountain, and we look up into the sky, and it almost feels like we're with the stars. There's nothing that separates us from them. From the mountain, we can see further with a different perspective. We hear differently. We often feel closer to the Creator. We experience a hope that all things are as they should be. Maybe you've had moments in which you felt that you are really close to God, that you are really in tune with God's plan, and it's in those moments that we finally feel like we've understood what that hole in our heart that God's trying to fill is filled. Everything seems new and refreshing and right in the world. We have a revelation of God's goodness. As you look back over your life, can you picture any moments in which you've experienced this? Moments in time that you've maybe captured that photo? We always have our cameras with us and our video cameras with us. You used to have to carry around this box and stuff, but now it's right in your pocket or purse. We store them away and we go back to these memories. We hold them close so that we can return to them in those challenging moments that we experience in life. You remember those moments, those good moments, graduations, births, weddings, dream jobs? Maybe it was a spiritual moment, a worship service, a retreat, a Bible study. Maybe it was that walk in nature. Maybe it was a conversation with a son or a daughter, and you were able to share how you felt, and they were able to share how they felt, and it felt like you really understood one another. This morning's text is woven in such a way that we are given a glimpse to what it means to have our lives forever changed by the knowledge and the presence of God. The story, it's one of those passages that we've been given. It's where we get this term mountaintop experience. This feeling that all is right. And you know, I remember going to youth camps and church camps, and we have these experiences, and then we go back to our homes or our churches, and we you know, it feels like, wow, I wanted to stay at camp forever. We want to hang on to those moments as long as we can. Those feelings. But this event and Jesus having this experience and then wanting to build these booths to store that moment in time forever. And we see Jesus saying, no, as good as this is, as good as it is, we're not going to build booths. The disciples didn't understand, and they didn't know what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about going to Jerusalem. But Jesus knew where he came from and where he was going. And the Transfiguration story speaks about change, his change and our change. The Transfiguration showed that Jesus was different than what the disciples first believed. The word Transfiguration is the word which we get our word metamorphosis. metamorphosis, a change. This was a change from the inside out, a change that could be painful, a change that to really understand, we and they sometimes have to put our personal expectations of who and what they thought Jesus was to be and learn to listen to who Jesus really came to be, who he really was. To put our personal expectations aside. As they listened, they were changed because of their experience with God. Peter wanted to stay on the mountain, bask in God's glory. But Jesus knew that God's glory was not just on the mountain, but also down in the valleys. In the valleys with the people. Mountaintop experiences are wonderful, but if we just stayed there, we would miss so much of life together in relationship. Among the people who struggle, maybe even with their personal and private demons. In the story, as we get to kind of verse 38, we see that Jesus and the disciples come down off the mountain, and right as they come down out of the mountain, they're met with the need of people. They experienced the needs of the world, and they found it in this boy who was having an epileptic seizure. And the mother and the father were worried and didn't know what to do next. And so they came to Jesus and said, "Well, you know, before you took the disciples up on the mountain, they weren't able to heal my son, but I need help, Jesus." Wonder how many people, well, let's say we live in a time where people need or are craving or asking for the presence of Jesus to help them. They're asking for the church to be the church, this church that we read about in the scriptures of what it means to be the church of love and grace and peace to the least and the last and the lost, to the outcasts, to the oppressed, to the immigrant. We live in a time where people need the presence and are desiring the presence of the church and of Jesus to be with them in the tough moments of everyday life. And it's no accident that we read this story right before we head into the season of Lent. It's as if the scripture was purposely recorded in the Gospels in the midst of experiences where people were going to be suffering and prophecies of death were to come, and people just needed a revelation of God's glory. Jesus took the disciples up on the mountain for prayer and for peace and for solitude, and author, scholar William Barclay notes that in religion, there must be solitude. There must be those moments in which we go away, that we find peace, that we have retreat, that we rejuvenate ourselves and our relationship with God. But there must not be isolation. The solitude is necessary for one to keep contact with God. But if we just isolate ourselves in our search for solitude and we shut ourselves off from one another, if we shut our ears off to the appeals of the world and our brothers and sisters for help, if we shut our hearts off to the cries and the tears of the needs of those around us, then that's not religion. The solitude is not meant to make us isolated to the needs of those around us, but it's meant to help us to be better able to meet and to cope with the demands of everyday life. Now here, you and that we sometimes can feel that the world is beyond saving at times. that there's disaster after disaster, there's hurt after hurt, there's brokenness and disease and oppression and injustice that threaten human life. It's hard. I mean, even us who gather for worship and we hear the scriptures of Jesus, we're on this roller coaster of is it even possible? But the good news is, yes, it's possible. It's possible to turn things around. It's possible and to head in the direction and the call that Jesus desires for this life and for this world. But it's only possible if we lean upon God, who comes to us in Jesus, and who comes to us again and again and again and rescues us from the hurt and the harm that we cause to ourselves. Jesus understood that. He understands us, and he's with us and present with us day in, day out. And so as we begin our Lenten journey, as we start this week with Ash Wednesday, and we're reminded of our from ashes we were created, and to ashes we shall return, and as we're attentive to all the ways in which God is with us through worship and through sacrament and through prayer and through fellowship and breaking bread together and service and study, may we be reminded and may we be encouraged as weary disciples to find hope. May we listen and imitate Jesus' life, reflecting and expanding God's light to all the nations. That in our longest nights, there's hope. That's what the Transfiguration is all about. Dispirited disciples at that moment see God's glory revealed. And when his glory is revealed, they were able to get their lives back on track again. Maybe that's what we need. Be reminded of today. That in the midst of this world that can sometimes drain the hope out of us, there is hope. God is still God. The Lord is still Lord. And beyond the darkness, whatever darkness that is, there is dawn. And so instead of creating tents, booths, may we be a people who go to the people and meet God in them and through them, and allow God to transform their life as God transforms ours. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together in this place and to be reminded of your presence that can blow us away. And God, as we go through these days, and as our worry and our anxiety and our hope fluctuates, may we know that you are with us and that all things are possible through you. May we lean upon that hope that never wavers. Show yourself to us. May our eyes be open. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.